Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 8. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 8. The Lord Jesus Christ has been running into the religious establishment, and it has been infuriating for them to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. It had started with Jesus Christ healing a man by the pool of Bethesda, and as this man was healed, Jesus ordered him to rise up, take his mat, and go home. And as the man began to walk, he was confronted by the religious establishment because he was carrying a mat on the Sabbath day, which was breaking their idea of the law. They confronted him, "Why are you doing this work?" And he said, "All I know is a guy healed me and told me to go home, take my mat, and I did." However, they were curious. Who was it that told you? This is something they were going to wrestle with for a while. Who is Jesus? Who is this guy? What makes him different? Well, this caused a stir. The Lord Jesus Christ left and went back to Galilee. And after 6 months, he came back during the Feast of the Tabernacles. During the Feast of the Tabernacles, at the end part of the feast, in the great feast day, when the high priest took the golden pitcher, went to the pool of Sihon, came back with water and poured it upon the altar, Jesus Christ stood up and said that he was that living water, and that if they drank from him, that they would have life everlasting and it would continue to come. Well, they were very much upset that the Lord Jesus Christ would dare do this in the middle of their ceremonies. So they ordered troops to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. As the troops come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, they notice that Jesus wasn't hiding. He was there bold. The things that he was saying, the officers go back and said, "We couldn't do it." And this made the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious establishment, the scribes, very upset. So much so that Nicodemus, who was one of the Sanhedrin, one of that ruling council, tried to talk sense into them, but they wouldn't even listen to an elder statesman. They were so incensed, they wanted to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, because the officers would not arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, they had to come up with another plan. They had to come up with another scheme, and they figured they finally got the right one. As Jesus went to the temple and began to teach again the next day, the Pharisees actually took a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and humiliated her, pulled her to the Lord Jesus Christ, not her partner, but her, brought her before the Lord and challenged Jesus. What are we going to do with her? According to the law, she's deserving of death. They were hoping to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. They figured that there was no way he could squirm out of this. Either the Lord Jesus Christ had to condemn this woman now who is humiliated before the crowd and have to pronounce this lady to death, or to ignore the law and say, "Well, just let it go. Just ignore what it says. Don't you see this poor lady here? She suffered enough." And they figured they could catch her anyway. On top of that, only the Roman government was allowed to kill someone. And so if Jesus had said that she deserved to be stoned, what would happen is that they could also turn him over to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Roman government. So they figured that they had a failsafe. Either Jesus Christ would announce himself as a false prophet by denying the law and therefore get all of his followers away, or he would pronounce her death, whereas all the people watching the lady in her humiliation would say, "Why would he do that to a lady? Look at how bad she's suffering. Look at her humiliation. Why would he want her to die?" They figured they had a great trap. But the Lord Jesus Christ is not any man. He is God. He knew it was coming, or he knew what he was going to do. And Jesus Christ just stoops down And according to the law, she was worthy of death. According to the law, she deserved to die. According to the law, she was guilty. The Lord Jesus Christ never erased her debt, meaning he didn't just wipe it away. He didn't just say, well, just, you know, do better next time. He admitted that she deserved death by saying, also according to the law, you who are accusing her have the responsibility to throw the first stone. Well, with this, in order to throw the first stone, each of the Pharisees had to have been unguilty in the accusation. Well, they were clearly guilty. They set this lady up. They dragged her out of the house. That means they had to know beforehand what was happening, let it happen, and purposely disrupt the party, purposely drag her out and humiliate her. They were not innocent in this. They were guilty. So, as the Lord Jesus Christ stooped in the ground before, they all left, from the oldest to the youngest, one by one, till there was no one left. Even the crowd dispersed. Well, Jesus told the lady, go and sin no more. There's no one accusing you. He had provided a way of escape. Remember, she was guilty. She deserved death. Jesus provided a way of escape, and she accepted it. And with the expectation, not just to go off back into your old life, but because she was forgiven, because she was shown grace, that she was to go and sin no more. Well, now the Pharisees are even more upset. They have attempted to have Jesus Christ arrested and removed publicly. They have attempted to trap the Lord Jesus Christ publicly, and they've lost out on that. Now they are stuck. They want him dead. They want him silenced. But now they've got to deal with the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads us, as we continue on with the gospel record of John, chapter number 8, as once again Jesus begins to teach within the temple. A crowd is gathered again, and this time the Pharisees are inserting themselves and trying to get an argument, trying to figure out who this Jesus guy really was, because he had already baffled their minds. They're confused, they're befuddled, they're bewildered. And they've got to do something. So pick it up with me, if you don't mind, in the gospel record of John in chapter number 8. The gospel record of John chapter 8, notice with me in verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come or whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then they said unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me, nor my Father. If you had known me, ye should have also known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke of them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, mark a phrase that we find in the book of John, chapter number 8. The gospel record of John, chapter 8, and verse number 12, notice a name of Jesus Christ that we find in John 8, 12. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And with this, we want to see this passage here as Jesus is talking with the Pharisees, talking with the religious establishment, and they're trying to figure out who Jesus is. Jesus is very clearly trying to tell them who he is, but also why they can't see him. I am the light of the world. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you that you are the true light. And in you, there is no darkness at all. I'm thankful that you could light our path, light our way, show us which way to go. I'm asking that you would help us to see you high, holy, and lifted up, to be able to use the light that you've provided for us, that we could see the next step, see who you are clearly, that we'd have a clear vision of whom you are. Help us to have an understanding of this passage. Once again, I physically and mentally need you. So the best I know how, I give myself to you, my body, my thoughts, my ambitions, my goals, my dreams, my lips, my words, and I give them all to you and ask that you fill me with your spirit for the purpose of getting your own work accomplished through your word. We love you. Thank you for being a wonderful God. In your name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ declares himself to be the light of the world in verse number 12. Let's kind of explore this just a little bit more. Then spake Jesus again unto them. So remember, this is a continuation that he's been dealing with the religious establishment for the last several chapters. Chapter 5, he had to deal with the religious establishment dealing with the healing of the man of Bethesda. And John chapter 7, Jesus went down into the temple area from Galilee, not with his brothers, but try to be more incognito, but he showed up inside of the temple and began to teach and preach, and he had to deal with the religious establishment, so much that they actually went to send their guards to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. They've dealt with him earlier in John chapter 8. And then again, he's dealing with this religious establishment, trying to have this big battle that they are having with the Lord Jesus Christ. They want it their way, their rules, they want it their authority, and they didn't want Lord Jesus Christ messing this up. So because they already rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they couldn't see him clearly. But Jesus Christ is trying to use this as an opportunity as he's dealing with the religious establishment to let them know clearly who he is, and not just them. As the religious establishment is talking with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a crowd that's watching too. And so as Jesus Christ is explaining to the Pharisees, the crowd listens in, and they get to learn more about who Jesus Christ is during this interaction. So it's not wasted time, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to someone who is not going to believe in him, someone who's against him, someone who can't see him clearly. But there are others around that will be able to see him. Jesus Christ again says in verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is one of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ that he gives here in the gospel record. Remember, he starts off with the I am statement. This idea goes all the way back to God revealing himself to Abraham that I am that I am. I am the great I am. And Jesus Christ is taking that title upon himself and giving further definition. I am the light of the world. Now, we know that he's not speaking about natural light. He is that spiritual light. that Christ gives light to all those that follow him. Light reveals. Light exposes. Light guides. Those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ don't walk in darkness, but the light is going to light up their path. That it is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us a clear vision of whom he is. If you can imagine being in a dark room, just a little bit of light, that when you talk to someone, you can't see their features clearly. You can't see around the room clearly. It's in darkness. You may guess where you're going, but you never know what's in your path. There may be some times that you feel like you know your house well enough that you don't need the light on until you find a chair that's out of place, or you find Legos that are left out, kids' toys, something. Then you find out you didn't see it clearly. Maybe you were talking to someone and it's in a darker room and you can't see their features clearly. You can't see some of the things on there. You don't have a clear vision, a clear image of whom they are. We even do that with such thing as restaurants. We know that in certain restaurants, they have the lighting down low because it would look completely different if you let the light in. Let the things be exposed. We know that light exposes, light reveals, light directs. Light is very important. And the more light that we have, the more clearly we could see the things around us and see what we're supposed to be looking at. Jesus Christ is that light. And without that light, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be in darkness in our understanding, in our vision, and how we do things, how we perceive things, how we understand things. Because all we could see is the darkness and the shadows. And the more that we walk away from that light, we reject that light, the more darkness that we go into. Someone once said that the older I get, the less clearly I see in the dark, but the more clearly I see the dark. Well, if we're walking in the light, we have no reason to fear the darkness. We could be in the light for ourselves. Light guides. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to say to the religious establishment, that he is the light. And if they follow him, if they accept him, they will see things clearly. But because, and this is what we're going to see throughout the rest of this passage, because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not see God clearly. They cannot see Jesus clearly. They cannot see the Bible clearly. They can't see their path clearly. They can't see themselves clearly. Without that light, they have darkness, and they're wandering around without a clear vision. Remember, the very first command the Lord that God gave to creation was, "Let there be light." Darkness had to flee at God's word. Jesus declared himself to be that same light. Following after him is the only path out of spiritual blindness. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't mind, let's explore this passage more. Understanding Jesus Christ is the light, and let's see how important his light is in each of these circumstances. The next thing we want to point out is the Pharisees reject his authority. The Pharisees reject his authority. Notice in verse 13. The Pharisees therefore, remember when you see the word therefore, you have to ask, what is it therefore? They're saying this in response. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And the response from the Pharisees is this in verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." So they immediately jump upon this. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And they're saying, "Liar, you're speaking of yourself. You're bragging of yourself. No one's saying that you're the light except for you." Notice in verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go." Jesus Christ said, "Well, I'm the expert on the subject of me. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I know everything about me. You do not." Why? because they are walking in darkness. They don't have a clear vision of who Jesus is. They cannot see him clearly. They see shadows. They see a misshapen vision. They do not see him clearly. Jesus has all the light, knows everything about himself, knows everything about everyone. He has a clear vision, and because he could clearly see what everything is, he can clearly describe and report on what he is seeing. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 14, Jesus answered and said to them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whether I come or whether I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father hath sent that sent me bear witness of himself." Under the law that the Pharisees loved so much, they required two people to give testimony, to give witness, to verify something as true. That if you wanted your identification, you had to have two people to be able to identify you. If you needed to get something done, maybe a contract, you had a couple people that had to be there or had to have two witnesses. If you committed murder, they required two people to give witness that you did this in order to settle the fact. So Jesus is referring to this and say, well, I'm a witness and I'm able to be a witness because I have a clear vision. I see everything. I know everything. I'm able to do that. But not just me, but my Father. Of course, that's God. God gives witness. We know that God has proven himself in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God had verified, had approved of Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus Christ was verified by these two sources. But again, they rejected God's authority. They rejected Jesus' authority because they could not see who he was. They're so infuriated, mad, and upset that they're only focusing on how do we trap him? How do we wipe him off the board? How do we get rid of him? That they haven't even tried to investigate truly who is Jesus. Because they reject the authority, they've rejected the light, and they cannot see the situation clearly. We notice the second thing, they're blind to his identity. They're blind to his identity. So they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't even want to know, but they can't see who Jesus is clearly because they've rejected the light. Notice verse 19. Then they said unto him, "Where is thy Father?" So they want to know, all right, you keep talking about your Father. Who is your Father? Tell us who he is. Tell us why we should believe his witness. Jesus answers, verse 19, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, ye should have known my Father also." Now, Jesus is going to be consistent in this statement all throughout the gospel record of John here, that if you want to know the Father, you know it through the Son. If you know the Son, you know the Father. If you don't know the Son, you don't know the Father. Why? Because they're the same person. They are not separate entities. They're not separate beings. Jesus is God robed in the flesh. He is God. He doesn't have an independent thought than God. They don't have to get together and confer. They are the same being. Jesus said, "I am God robed in flesh. If you known me, you would also know my Father. If you known God, you would know me. We're the same. But because you're blind, because you've rejected me, you can't see who I am. All they can see is flesh. They don't see deity. All they see is a poor carpenter. They don't see the true prophet. All they see is some backwoods, uneducated person who didn't go through their schools, and yet they're infuriated because he keeps stopping their schemes. He keeps squirming out of it, and all they can see is through their filter of blindness, of rage, of inferiority, of him taking the glory and them looking like fools. They're getting angrier and angrier, and it is blinding them more and more as they continue to reject the light. Notice as it continues to go on, in verse number 19. And they said unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, ye also should know of my father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. So we have the context of where he's at. This is inside of the temple, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Now, once again, it is making reference. He is preaching openly. He is available. Easy for the Pharisees to try to get their guards and arrest him again. But it's not going to work. Their plans are failing because it's not Jesus' time. Remember, we've made reference that the idea that his hour is not yet come shows up 7 different times within the gospel record of John. And it's all leading to when his time is, when Jesus Christ goes to the cross. Jesus, who is in God's will not be allowed to go outside of that will of the time of going to the cross. Notice as it continues to go on in verse number 21. Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins, for whither I go, ye cannot go. Now Jesus said the same thing to them earlier, that he says, where I go, you can't follow after me. Where is he going, by the way? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to heaven. They cannot go because they don't know how to get there. They are lost. That carries the idea of blindness. Because they're blind, they cannot see where they're going. They don't have the directions to get there. They don't have any way to know how to get there. There's no way Google can direct you to heaven. They can't give you driving instructions. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, because one day you're going to really want to know me, but I'm not going to be available. You're not going to know how to get a hold of me. You're not going to know where I'm at because you can't get there themselves. Now, this is a big deal. He did tell them that they would die in their sins because they did not have the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very big. You see, the idea of life here is not just a minor thing. It is the difference between life and death. And because the Pharisees rejected him, they're blind to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's also going to keep them blind of how they can have forgiveness, how they can go to heaven, and they're going to die in their own trespasses and sin. They could not recognize their own Savior standing before them. Notice in verse 22, notice how confused they are. Then the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, you cannot come. Now, they had a different response earlier when Jesus said that, but now they're even more confused. What do you mean you can't follow? Are you going to go kill yourself? Because we can't follow you for that. What a strange conclusion to jump to. But why would their minds think that away? Because they're in darkness. When you're in darkness, you can't see things clearly. They drew a wrong conclusion because they could not see things clearly. Notice, if you don't mind, we go on in this passage, the danger of dying in unbelief. So Jesus Christ prompts this and says, you're going to die in your trespasses and sins. They're confused. Well, he's speaking about dying. I guess he's going to go commit suicide. Well, we're not going to be able to follow him in that. Well, so Jesus Christ begins to try to instruct them again. Now, remember, the Pharisees have already rejected him, and they're going to continue to reject him. But there's a crowd nearby that's listening, and many of them want to know. Many of them are seeking a light. Notice with me in verse 23. Jesus said unto them, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. So Jesus Christ is trying to explain that there's a difference. All of these people, Pharisees, are born on earth. Jesus isn't from earth. Remember, Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. He began up in heaven. He is God robed in flesh. He was God before Bethlehem. He's God after Bethlehem. He was God at creation. He'll be God after creation. Jesus Christ is this eternal, immortal God. And he's explaining to them, I didn't start in Bethlehem. I didn't start on this earth. All of you did, but I'm not. There is a difference. Verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. So Jesus is explaining why he said they're going to die in their sins. For ye believe not that I am he. Ye shall die in your sins. Verse 24 is a very important verse. Why does someone die and go to hell? It is not because of their sins, though they're worthy of punishment. It is because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not say, well, if you try your best, you'll go. Or if you hold on to your traditions. He clearly said that their only hope was to believe in who Jesus is, to accept that light. And without that light, they were going to die in their trespasses and sin. Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? Finally, we get to the question. They've been rolling this in their mind, and you could just imagine someone exasperated. Well, just who are you? Who are you? We've been trying to figure this out for a while. Who are you? Because he has it trapped. They have it. He's got out of their traps. He's got out of their arrest. He's got out of their arguments. He's got out of their theological. He is just, who is this guy? Finally, they just ask the question, who are you? Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Jesus said, I've been telling you this entire time. Jesus has never tried to hit himself. He's never played spiritual hide and seek. Then why can't they see them? Because they're in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. They rejected his light. And because they're in darkness, they can't see him clearly. They can't see who Jesus is because of this darkness, because they've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 26, I have many things to say and judge of you. Notice that many. I've got lots of things I'd like to tell you. I've got many things I need to fix in your life. I got many things to deal with you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. Jesus said, I'm going to make things simple. All I am is telling you what God said. That's it. Accept my word, hear what God says. Let's make it simple. Jesus is God, robed in flesh, and he came in here to deal with what the Father said. Jesus didn't speak of himself. He didn't speak carelessly. He didn't speak outside of what God wanted. He spoke exactly what God wanted. That was his job, to provide the light of God. And they either accepted him or they rejected him. So we have these Pharisees who are in darkness. They're mad at him. They're upset. They've rejected him. And they can't see Jesus clearly. Jesus has tried to deal with them and tried to show that they're walking in darkness. One more thing I'd like to bring out in this text is that the cross would prove his identity. The cross would prove his identity. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse 27. They understood not that he spoke unto them of the Father. Now, once again, they don't have understanding. Why? Because they're in darkness, not in light. They can't see things clearly because of the darkness, because of the shadows. They don't have a clear vision. Verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me these things, I speak these things. Now, this is a big statement. He says, when I am lifted up. Now, the Pharisees don't know at this time what this means, but this means Jesus Christ is lifted up on the cross to die for your sins and mine. He was lifted up on that cross to die and to suffer for our sins. He was lifted up. Jesus Christ is saying this, say, one day when I'm lifted up, you're going to go in your minds and say, oops, we know who he is. Oh, I understand now. Now, praise the Lord, we find in the gospel, or in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, that many of these people who accuse the Lord Jesus Christ, they will get saved after the cross because of things like this. They'll go, you know what? He told us who he was. He told us he'd be lifted up. He told us he was going to die. He told us he was going to rise again the third day. Jesus Christ is doing what he can to lay a foundation so they can understand later when the light comes on. They'll be able to look back and say, there it is. It's almost like reading a book or watching a movie, and then all of a sudden at the end, when they reveal what happened, you look back and say, oh man, there was those clues all along. How come I didn't see this? Jesus Christ is trying to put these markers down. So when the light comes on, they look back and say, look at what he was doing the whole time. He was trying to prove and show who he really was. And we didn't see it. We were blind. We were in darkness. The clues were there, and we did not see them. Jesus is the light of the world. Notice in verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Once again, Jesus Christ is trying to say that him and the Father are one, that God never leaves Jesus. Jesus is him, that Jesus doesn't do anything outside of the Lord's will because he is God. And Jesus pleases God all the time because he is God. Then verse number 30, notice this. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. Now again, remember the setting. This isn't just a one-on-one private conversation. Jesus was busy teaching in the temple when the Pharisees tried to hijack the meeting. They wanted to know questions. They demanded of Jesus. And Jesus Christ, knowing that the crowd is listening, is using this as an opportunity to tell them about who he is, so they could have the light, so they could see Jesus clearly. And even though the Pharisees are mad, they cannot see Jesus clearly because they don't have the light. There are many who did have the light, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings a good question. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, may I say, are you rejecting the light? You know, you could say no to Jesus so many times, and each time you say no, you're continuing in the darkness. And what happens is that you have more and more of a distorted view of who Jesus is. You can see him less and less clearly until finally he's just a figure in the dark. Until he's at the place where he's so distant, that light is, all you see is shadows, and you're doing your best to wander through on your life by yourself without him. We need the light of the world. As a believer, are you walking close beside him? Are you allowing him to light your path? You know, even as Christians, we can still walk away from the light. And we could be blinded to our own actions. We could be blinded to the things around us because we're not comparing it or using the light of Jesus Christ to show us more about the real situation. We're not practicing discernment. One of the things we do all the time is we get in trouble because we're not seeing things clearly. We're stumbling in darkness because we're not staying close to the light. So, dear friend, there's two questions for you. Have you accepted the light of the world for yourself? Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Then for you, believer, do you find yourself stumbling in the darkness? Then the answer is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him light your path, even as a Christian, step by step. Light your way. Let you see things clearly because he is the light of the world, and he can get rid of those shadows, get rid of those doubts by staying close to him. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, I'm just asking that you would give us grace and mercy and understanding. I am asking that if there's anyone at the sound of my voice that has never personally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would show them the light of whom you are, that they would see you clearly as God, high, holy, and lifted up, that they would have a clear vision of whom you are, and that they'd be ready to receive that free gift of salvation for believing on you. For any believer that's at the sound of my voice, do you find yourself walking in darkness? Then the path for every single one of us is to stay close to Jesus Christ and allow him to light our path. Let him light things up so we could see things clearly, see decisions clearly, that we could see where we're supposed to go clearly, that we could see others clearly, because we're close to your light. And help us to continue to get closer and closer to you and allow you to light up more and more things around us. Thank you for whom you are. And in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.